such a show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
And welcome to 2SER, it's Arts and Culture Show, So Hot Right Now. I am with you from 11 this morning until about midday, giving you your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So as we all know, yesterday was International Women's Day. So today I'm lucky enough to interview not one but two incredible women speaking at All About Women this weekend. I'll be unpacking the Dating Survival Guide panel, as well as the Futures Feminism panel. I've got two very exciting and special guests joining me to talk all about that and about the day generally and where feminism is headed in the future. I'm also talking about PAX Salon, which is returning next weekend at PAX Center for Emerging Artists in Erskineville. As many of you probably know, if you're avid listeners of the show, I'm a huge PAX fan and a very big Salon fan. So I'm really excited to talk about Slurp, which is the latest one next weekend. The curators are from Melbourne, so I'm speaking to one of them on the line later. This Slurp is a full sensory explosion in this mini arts festival. So lots to unpack there, which I'm very excited about. And as we all know, it's Art Month. And if you're looking for some local galleries to check out over the weekend, Airspace Projects in Marrickville is the place to be. Stay tuned because very soon, up next actually, I'll be lucky enough to have an artist and one of the gallery organisers in studio to tell us about what we can expect at Airspace at the moment for Art Month. So before I jump into that, I'm just going to play this track from a Georgia-based artist in Atlanta, Georgia, in America. Her name is Faye Webster. I actually saw her a little while ago, a year and a bit ago, supporting Julia Jacklin, and she's incredible. And this is a song that she only released on Friday, so I thought I'd give it a spin, give her a bit of airplay in Australia because she is seriously the best. This is Room Temperature. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Looks like I've been crying again over the same thing. I wondered if anyone has ever cried for me. Nothing means anything, at least anymore. Even my tears have gone room temperature. I should get
and 2SER present Grammy Award-winning artist Jeff Tweedy. The founding member and leader of American rock band Wilco is heading to Australia for his first ever solo tour this May. One of contemporary American music's most accomplished songwriters, Tweedy will be playing songs from all stages of his career. Catch Jeff Tweedy at the Metro on May 20, joined by Australian singer-songwriter Jen Cloher. Tickets on sale now at lovepolice.com.au. 2SER sponsors.
Good morning and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture on 2SER 107.3. So right now I'm talking about Woolworth's Orchard. We rarely think of flowers as digital objects, but that's exactly what you can expect from Sophie Penkethman Young's latest exhibition, Woolworth's Orchard at Airspace in Marrickville. To talk about it more, I'm joined by Sophie in the studio, as well as Yorgo Yiannopoulos, who is also with us, and he's an organizer at Airspace Projects in Marrickville, where you can see Sophie's show. And they're here to tell us about what else is coming up at Airspace in relation to Art Month. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're really good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on the show during primetime brunch hour. So Sophie, your latest installation, Woolworth's Orchard, without giving too much away or going into too much detail, can you unpack what we can expect to see from the installation?
Well, you can expect to see a lot of orchids.
That makes a lot more sense.
And like a projected video behind them. The work is kind of in two zones. There's like a physical zone of flowers, and there is a digital zone that is like a video work made entirely from images that have been sourced online.
So your interest in flowers is pretty prevalent here. How did that all start, and what does that mean for you?
It started really young. My grandmother is a landscape architect, and she designed this festival in Canberra called Floriart when I was like really little. So I've always been like surrounded by flowers, and one of my earliest memories was this flower that would bloom every year around my birthday, and I would just get so excited, and I remember it really clearly, and to the point where my whole family calls them Sophie's favorite flower.
Wow.
I don't think that that's their botanical name, but it's what they're known as colloquially in my family. It's like yellow, and it's really like sunny, and it has like lots of spiky petals. It's really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting flower. Speaking of flowers, obviously they're an element of nature, and you've moved them into a gallery space. Can you tell me about the challenges there in making a flower bed in a gallery? Are they still alive?
Oh my God, there have been so many challenges.
Can you imagine?
So I think the biggest challenge was really that I have never really built a physical object before, because I am predominantly a video artist. And so with the drill that I got for Christmas, I decided that I was going to build a flower bed.
Wow.
And it was a very intense installation. And then planting the flowers, again, I've never like planted on this scale. I'm more of like a pot plant because I live in Sydney, so I don't have a garden.
What scale are we talking?
So the garden bed is 2 meters by 3 meters. So it's
okay,
like,
and full of flowers.
It's got like, in the end, we ended up doing it in like 3 rows of 10 orchids. So there's 30 orchids all up. But orchids don't like to stand because they're top heavy. And there was, there's been a lot of movement of the orchids to get it to where it is now.
So as you mentioned, there's also a video work, which is your predominant practice. A lot of the themes in your videos are inspired by consumer culture and mass images. So when did you start exploring these ideas, and how are they prevalent in Woolworth's Orchard?
I started exploring these ideas maybe 3 or 4 years ago through my interest in museum culture and how so many objects are becoming digitized, and sort of kind of an anxiety around the digital space and the clutter that is there, and how things lose value in a sense when they are put on this like equalizing platform. And then it sort of continued through a couple of works, but this is probably the most pointed of like the works I've ever made, it's like very specific,
yeah,
about like the digital natural object and then the mass produced natural object and how it's all around us.
So considering this work has such a specific intent, what are you hoping audiences grasp when they experience it in an ideal world?
So I think that there's like there is a real like horror in the beauty of seeing like flowers at this scale being mass produced in factories.
Especially orchids.
And also they're a really like highly bred, unnatural flower. I have a real uncanny valley kind of reaction to them because they don't look real. They still look fake, even if they are like a physical object that is made like kind of a natural physical object. So I want people to maybe not, I don't want them to be like alarmed, but I want them to be alert.
Yeah. That's a good response, I think. Not overwhelmingly stressful.
So Yogo, you're one of the organisers at Airspace Projects. Yeah. Alongside Sophie's exhibition, there are three other artists showing. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, we've got some super beautiful shows on at the moment that all speak really, really well with each other. We've got Michaela Panagides in Gallery 1. Her exhibition is called A Living Doll, and she looks at like the masks that women put on and remove to kind of either like play two feminine stereotypes or like revolt against them. And then Gallery 2, we've got Madeline Bishop, whose show One Hand Washes the Other looks at the kind of platonic relationships that we have with like our friends or family and the ways that bodies kind of like might represent that in like a photo space. And then in the cranny, which is kind of our craggly space leading to Sophie's, we've got Simone Goran, whose show Nothing That Belonged to It Exists Anymore on, which is this like post-apocalyptic look at like sort of like pubescent youth and like the idea of like the teenage girl in the 90s and like what kind of aesthetic her like revolt looks like now. And then, but like Sophie didn't mention that like there's, she's got this like hectic soundtrack. Oh, yeah. It's like this hard style, like full GABA, like dubstep situation.
Really?
That
wow.
kind of just like thumps through the space with like a spoken word over top that's like whispering about like flowers. Like it's super sensual. And then like in Gallery 1, there's also like this really like intense soundtrack too. And so kind of the whole space is like sounding off on each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've also read that Sophie, you make video art for different DJs and musicians. Is that something that informs your practice a little bit?
Yeah, so many of my friends are in music. My partner Duncan Brown makes all of my soundtracks. He like makes music, and yeah, I make like a weekly video for a techno show on FBI Radio.
Is it Pure Space?
It's Pure Space.
I love that video. There you go. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm like very informed by that space.
Awesome. Yeah. That's cool that it's infiltrated your work in a sound area. It's kind of a give and take between music and art. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Are there any overlapping themes in the shows that you've just discussed, do you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. There's like super, super strong sense of like just sort of like exploration of like women's identity and identity in general and kind of like the way that one might see the world through that lens. It's like, yeah, super powerful kind of like exploration of what that's like in childhood and then sort of further on. And I guess sort of, yeah, like that presence of flowers, and there's like definitely a strong kind of like color thing that's running through all the shows, like really serendipitously. There's like a lot of purples and pinks in everyone's shows, and then Simone's show has this like glaring kind of acid green. So there's this green and purple like super suffragette kind of color scheme that kind of pumps through the space. It's awesome.
Was that informed by International Women's Day at all, or just?
I think that like for sure that we made sure that like all the shows were hosted by like women this month, but it's definitely not like the first or only time in the program at all.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's like something that fun to look forward to.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on the show this year today. Good luck with the rest of the exhibition and all the things to come at Airspace. So I've just been speaking with Sophie and Yorgo from Airspace Studios. Sophie's show, Woolworth's Orchid, will be showing until the 17th of March as part of Art Month. And Airspace Projects is open Friday 11 till 6 p.m. on the weekend from 11 till 5. So check it out if you're in around Marrickville or in the Inner West generally. And there's lots of great things to see there. So I'm going to push on with some music. This is a new one from Stella Donnelly. This is her track, Old Man, off her latest record, Beware of the Dogs. that there, that was Stella Donnelly with Old Man off her latest album, Beware of the Dogs. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things art and culture. If you just missed my last chat, I was talking about Woolworth's Orchid, which is happening at Airspace Projects in Marrickville, a really great organisation. I highly recommend you go and check it out. But now it's time to push on with our next big segment of the day, which is all about women. So it's a pretty apt discussion after just having International Women's Day yesterday. And I'm chatting first up about an exciting panel in the program entitled Dating a Survival Guide. So since when did dating become so complicated? Abysmal Tinder comments, unsolicited dick pics, angry lashing out after we've politely declined to meet up. I'm sure we've all experienced it. So as many of us know, modern dating is truly an enigma. There were previously no books or resources to guide us on the appropriate number of minutes before we can text back a type A male secretly scared of rejection. But now I'm joined by panellist Alexandra Tweeton, whose book, By Felicia, is a field guide for feminist theory, solidarity, and tools that women can use to take control of their dating life. And we've got her on the show this morning to provide a little bit of insight. Good morning, Alexandra.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So let's start from the beginning. How did By Felicia form?
So my account is actually called By Felipe.
Oh.
but it comes from the saying By Felicia because it was like popular to say online. And it was an inside joke between me and a bunch of friends. And whenever guys would do something terrible, we would say By Felipe just because it was a guy name. So I started the Instagram account 4 or 5 years ago. And it was just screenshots of terrible messages that my friends were getting on usually dating sites.
And how was that received?
It was well received. I actually never thought it would get big or go viral or anything, but I started it just as an inside joke, and then a journalist found it and wrote an article in The Atlantic magazine about it. And then it blew up from there. And now I have almost 500,000 followers on Instagram.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So how did that then transformed into a book?
Yeah. So I was kind of just doing it for fun. And people send me screenshots. And it's usually like a guy will hit on a woman and then she'll say no thank you or like not respond. And then he'll lash out and say like, you're ugly or like you're fat or something.
Wow.
The book really is just a compilation of like the best examples and advice that I've learned in my dating experience. And it's funny.
So this is something that is pretty familiar to a lot of women, especially anyone who has engaged with online dating platforms. But how did your male friends kind of respond to seeing these things? Were they like, oh, surprised or not so much?
I think the response I get from a lot of guys who don't do that kind of thing are like, I had no idea that it was this bad. And they just have no idea that it's going on. So I think that was kind of a cool thing that guys can now peek into our inboxes and see like what it looks like because they wouldn't normally know that.
Yeah, and it's not a minority either. It's at least like half. Yeah. The people are crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a minority of guys that actually do it, but they're doing it to so many women that every woman has experienced this.
Yeah, and not to a small extent. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So in what are some of the things that you have learned or tools that you can maybe share with us?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, being safe, like locking down your profile and making sure that, because a lot of times I see like if you're on Tinder or something and you don't match with someone, they'll find your Instagram account and harass you there. So I never connect my Instagram account or my other social media to my dating profiles because it makes it easier for people to find you.
That is so smart.
Yeah. And then also, just, I mean, having fun and laughing at it. And,
yeah.
And you know, if you experience any harassment of any type, like, share it with your friends and talk about it because it will make you feel so much better and you'll
alone.
Know that you're not alone.
Yeah, definitely. So bringing this back into the context of All About Women, tomorrow you're speaking alongside a couple other panelists.
Yeah.
Flexi Mama is one of them.
Yep.
What are you guys excited to
unpack together as a whole, provided everyone's different experiences with dating.
Yeah, I'm so excited to do this panel. Yeah, it's with Flex Mama and she, Flex Mommy, and she's in her 20s and I'm 31. So I'm going to be talking about dating in my 30s. And then Sammy Lucas is in her 40s. So we have these sort of intergenerational experiences and we're kind of just going to compare and contrast, along with Miffy Rigby is a moderator. So I think it's going to be super fun.
Have you been able to collaborate much in preparation or is it kind of more of an on the day thing?
We've been emailing and DMing each other on Instagram and stuff. So I'm like so excited to meet them for like in real life.
Back to calling people out and sharing things. Has that ever backfired for you? Do you think there's ever a point where that is perhaps counterproductive or always kind of a good thing?
No, I think it should calling people out and like naming them should be used very selectively, I think. I don't ever name people or allow people to be publicly shamed unless the example is really bad and they like definitely deserve some shaming. But I haven't regretted anyone that I've outed.
Yeah. I think it's important, selectivity. And
yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone ever come up to you and thanked you for like learning that was wrong or anything like that?
Yeah. I've actually gotten a few emails from guys being like, I used to be like that kind of guy that would get angry, and seeing all of the posts on your Instagram made me think twice about how I was communicating with women. So it does happen rarely.
Yeah. So your handle is By Felipe?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
B-Y-E-F-E-L-I-P-E.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on the panel, which is coming up pretty soon. Tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So I've just been speaking with Alexandra Tweeton, author of By Felipe and guest at All About Women 2019. Catch her tomorrow at the Sydney Opera House as part of the All About Women Festival. And we'll put all the relevant details up on our show page so you can find them there. Right now, I'm going to take a track from Mac DeMarco. This is his latest single, Nobody. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
A done decision. Another creature. It's lost its vision. Thank you. creature on television. There's no turning back to nobody. There's no second chance, no third degree. There's no turning back to nobody. There's no second chance, no third degree.
Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to 2SER, a citywide broadcaster and strong supporter of local business. Spread the word about your business all over Sydney by sponsoring us. Head to 2ser.com/sponsor today. Stories, ideas, your business, and music.
I don't want to be a cigarette. I don't wanna be your ashtray. I don't wanna be your doormat. Don't wanna be ignored. All of a sudden you're not into me. And maybe it's not deliberate. And I know you never asked me. I just gotta put it out there. I don't put myself out there. Usually I stay tucked away. Cause I was a loner until I met you, and I let you in after all the persuasion. Mind games, manipulations. So I'd rather be a loner. Yeah, I'd rather be alone. I don't even wanna know you. But if you don't want me now, no boy, I don't want you later. Don't try to come and eat with me. Cause I was a loner until I met you, and I let you in after all the persuasion. Headaches and allegations. That's why I'd rather be alone. I don't wanna be known. 'Cause
That there was Kelly Uchis with Lona off her first album, one of my most inspirational women in my life, I would say. And that is very timely kind of song to continue talking about, all about women. I am now joined by Aya Chubby, who is featuring in two different panels on the day. The one is The Future of Feminism and Feminism in the Arab World. And she is in studio to tell me a little bit more about herself and both of those things coming up tomorrow. Good morning, Aya.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So you are the youngest diplomat at the African Union Commission Chairperson's Envoy. You're the first African youth and African Union Youth Envoy, and you founded multiple platforms and movements. How did you first get started in all these incredible areas of work?
I started before Tunisia's revolution, but really owning my political voice was during Tunisia's revolution 2011, what the world might know or hear people might know as the Arab Spring. But that's a Western narrative. We call it the Revolution of Dignity. And then I was just part of organizing, blogging, and then I got to travel across the continent and try to organize African youth around a collective vision. And I spent the last 8 years of my life in Pan-African activism.
Wow, 8 years is a long time. Have you observed many changes?
Absolutely. I think actually 2011, the world has a very short memory of what happened, but young people since 2011 have started a new wave of activism, the Occupy movement, and being on the forefront of rising for their rights. So there is a lot of shift. This generation, I think, is a generation in transition, and there is a lot of shift in the narrative, in the way we present ourselves, the way we aspire to things that we want, and really owning that and trying to be in leadership and try to be at the forefront. Yeah.
So one of the panels you're speaking on is Feminism in the Arab World. To what extent do you think this like white Eurocentric view of feminism infiltrates that, and is that what you're trying to break down in this discussion?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think African feminism, Arab feminism, all sorts of feminism came out because of feeling not heard within the discussion of feminism, because it became more of like white women feminism, which is very Eurocentric, but also it doesn't give the diversity of our struggles. So obviously we have gender equality agenda, which unites all of us, but we have different cultural contexts, and the way we fight and our ways of activism, the way it would work in Ukraine, not the same it will work in Tunisia. So we need to use different tactics, we need to use different strategies, and we need to address our political elite, our religious leaders, our community leaders in a completely different way. So I think even when I say feminism, I prefer to have an S at the end. It's feminism. So it's a lot of diversity of understanding of feminism, but we are all under the umbrella of feminism, at least for me, is about freedom. So we are looking for women being liberated, being themselves and living every day free to do whatever they want, to have their choice. But the way to do it, we need to recognize the diversity of women and their struggles and really support each other. So I love being here, especially in this festival, because it's a space of solidarity. It's a space of hearing what are the different contexts of people and different struggles, but how can we support each other?
100%. It's got a great and diverse lineup of both ideas and
individuals. I'm so excited.
So the other panel you're speaking on is The Future of Feminism, which is a pretty hot topic at the moment. I wanted to know how you think thus far feminism is evolving in the last few years.
Well, I think we need a little bit more of generational dialogue. Definitely feminism, we have a lot of victories and we have a lot of achievements, and we need young feminists need to recognize that and need to celebrate what, you know, women paved the way for us to be here. And for me to be, for example, the envoy on youth and to be in leadership, I recognize the struggle of women. But where we arrive today, there is a lot of things that to me don't make sense and a little bit absurd in 2019 to see girls go out of school or drop out of school because of their periods, you know, to see things like female genital mutilation still exist and other things. And I'm like, so what have we done the last 60 years to still until today we have these issues? So I think there needs to be, as much as we need to have a global solidarity, we need to have intergenerational dialogue where we as young women now have also different struggles. We have now digital harassment and we have other issues of identities, gender identities that we're bringing on the table. So there is a lot that have been achieved and we're optimistic, but there is a lot of to be achieved. And there is a lot of also regression on some of the rights that we need to be careful about with the rise of the right wing and populism and all of that. So I think we just have to keep on fighting.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start always. So what would you like to see change if there was something specific that maybe in the context of the Arab world, what would be one major goal for 2019?
Well, in Tunisia right now, particularly where I come from, we are discussing the big debate there is equal inheritance, which has been like almost, all 60 years of women struggle and fighting for equal inheritance. Tunisia has been the first predominantly Muslim country to abolish polygamy, to have a lot of rights for women, giving their nationality to their kids and all of that. But inequal inheritance has been a topic that have been always pushed back. And last year, the president made a commitment to it. And now it's like a national debate. So perhaps this year will be the victory for that.
That would be great. Is there anything that you have observed in feminism thus far? You kind of touched on it, that you'd particularly like to stay clear of moving forward. In terms of like maybe some elements of feminism that you don't agree with that are emerging in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Does that exist?
I think for me, the making feminism equal gender equality is a little bit problematic because many people, for example, in Europe are fighting for equal pay as like the major agenda, which makes, feminism as like this fight for equal rights, equal pay, equal equalities. But for me, the basis of feminism is freedom. And if me starting from the house, going to public transport, going to my work, going to school, feeling oppressed means I'm not liberated and I'm not free as a woman every day. So there is a lot of the daily resistance that we go through as women that we're not taking care of, facing societal, cultural, economic, political systems that are hindering to fulfill our fullest potential that we need to take care of. And I think in feminism today, there is a lot of focus on policy, but not a lot of focus on like my daily life as a female, as a young woman in the space I'm in. How am I, free to do what I want?
100%. I totally agree. What are you hoping? What kind of impression are you hoping to make on your audiences tomorrow? What would you like them to take away from the event?
Yeah, I think for me, particularly the panel on feminism, the Arab world, I know there is a lot of stereotype of what that means, of what an Arab female young woman looks like, and how would she live and what kind of leadership she is at and what kind of societal oppression she's facing, that I hope to break those stereotypes by just sharing my own personal experience and how I live every day. And I hope all of us will get out of this festival with more solidarity because our part of the world struggles the most. And if you look at all the statistics, whether it's gender-based violence, whether all the issues still come from Africa and the Middle East. So we need more solidarity and we need the world to give more attention to our issues. As much as we want to support, the struggles that are happening in the global north as well.
Wonderful. I think solidarity is a really great takeaway from everything you've been saying. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
So that was Aya Chebbi on the here in studio chatting to us about the future of feminism and feminism in the Arab world. You can catch more of her live at the All About Women Festival tomorrow at the Sydney Opera House. We'll put all the relevant details up on our show page so you can go and buy tickets. I believe there's some still available. So just look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. Right now, I'm going to take a track from Ariel Pink. This is Another Weekend.
That there is a track from Ariel Pink, Another Weekend, one of my favourite Ariel Pink songs, also relevant because it's the weekend, I suppose. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. If you missed my last couple chats, they were all about the All About Women Festival, which is happening at the Sydney Opera House tomorrow, and you can listen to them back on our show page. We make sure we podcast everything, so everything is there for you to access at your own leisure. Right now, I've got my last story of the day, which is very sad, but I'm excited to chat about Pact Salon Slurp. So Pact Center for Emerging Artists is back with one of my absolute favorite events, which is their salon. So curated by Melbourne-based artists Carla Zimbler and Michaela Stafford is this edition Slurp, which is a full sensory experience. This one night only mini arts festival invites you to meditate on sensations of touch, sight, taste, smell, and sound. So I'm joined by both the co-creators on the line as they are based in Melbourne, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about what we can expect from Slurp. Good morning.
Hello, how's it going?
Well,
hello.
Thank you. Are you guys okay sharing there?
Yes, yes. We're good.
Okay, cool. So Slurp is all about sensory response and nostalgia. Why did you guys decide to explore the senses, and what do you think is the nexus between both sense and memory?
I mean, I think from a curatorial perspective, we were kind of interested in utilising the kind of site-specific kind of nature of the actual PAX Theatre. So we're kind of laying it out as a body. So there's different, we're splitting it up into different senses, different chambers to experience bodily functions and to be able to meditate and to kind of isolate the smells, the sounds, the visuals that might otherwise be sensory overload if all combined. It all correlates to the body. So we're looking at different bodily functions. We're meditating on different processes such as like digestion and different ways of experiencing and feeling and consuming and feeling immersed in, kind of in the space. We're kind of encouraging different kinds of either performance or sound artists or multimedia artists to kind of work together for a more kind of holistic kind of experience that might be a bit different to what people are usually accustomed to in kind of like a gallery arts context.
Definitely. So have you mentioned splitting the space up. Did you? It's like packed as one big kind of warehouse for those listeners who don't know. Have you physically created divides in terms of exploring the different parts of bodily functions?
We've just utilised kind of some of the different side rooms and the big, theatre space and outdoors as well.
Okay, awesome. That's really great. I wanted to ask about the word slurp. So that's a pretty visceral and evocative word. What are you trying to, what kind of message are you putting out with that title?
I think it's a bit playful. It's also a bit grotesque, which is kind of what the salon is going to feel like. It also invites people to sort of be sucked in to the body, as a slurp is the entry point of food down the throat. So I guess it's a way to describe the experience of entering our experience, and it's got that like beautiful onomatopoeic kind of quality that you can really hear it and feel it and sort of taste it. And I think that's really reminiscent of all the works in the space. They are super very immersive. They are very visceral works themselves. They invite audiences to come sit, feel, touch, taste as well. We've got elements of food. Food is a big component of the salon, food-based performance as well. There's a lot of like interactive experiences sort of scattered around the space. So it is all about like using your own body to digest and activate the work.
That's amazing. Anytime I've been to a salon, it's always very much outside is food and inside is the salon. So I think it's really great that you've integrated the space on a more holistic level. I wanted to ask about some of the artists who are involved, because you guys are based in Melbourne, but I've seen that there's some Sydney-based artists on the lineup. What kind of works can we expect?
we can expect a lot of very experimental sound performances that are using food as a way to construct sound and to also engage with audiences. So there is an element of interaction there. There's going to be performance dance-based works in the space that are going to mirror bodily functions and experiences inside. Secretions and various blood flows and veins and different features of the body will be, I guess, brought to life with fabric and performance. And then we've got scent-based sculpture, and we also have some live cooking and live tattooing, which can be experienced.
And motion tracking.
There's a lot.
Everything one could imagine.
There's a lot of durational works, endurance-based works, and sort of ongoing videos that you can sit and watch and consume at your own leisure as well. So we kind of invite audiences to maybe choose the scent that speaks to them the most, choose the space and the artist that kind of allows each audience member to meditate on maybe an element of their body that they might not otherwise have given.
It's kind of also to kind of encourage this kind of sense of unease, but in a non-confronting way, kind of just like as a more of a spectacle kind of format, which is going to be really exciting for all the artists to showcase some of new and reiterated works.
So this is clearly all about the body. What would you like people to kind of leave thinking about their body? Is it, do you know what I mean?
I think maybe experiencing the way that they touch and taste and hear, and maybe also meditate on what's happening inside rather than what they feel external to the body, more of like how they feel inside. Like it's, I guess, all the connections and the intestinal experiences and the really sort of guttural, throaty sounds. I think we're trying to kind of allow people to almost shed their skin and look within. And
also to kind of like open up kind of in an artistic kind of representation of the body as a machine, like the mechanisms that make us function either cognitively or unconsciously, and kind of how that shifts between like the everyday. So, yeah.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on the show. I'll see you both next weekend.
Thank you. Well, looking forward to seeing you there, and prepare to be...
Yeah, should I dress in some kind of way that's protective of my clothes?
No, I really like skin colours are great.
So okay.
Go a bit, I don't know, we can...
I'll experiment.
A nude coloured tone.
Okay, I'll see what I have. All right, thank you so much. I've just been speaking with curators Carla and Michaela ahead of the upcoming PAC Salon Slurp. This is a one-night-only event happening on Saturday the 16th over at PACT, which is right near Erskineville Station. Tickets are $15 online or $20 on the door. I cannot recommend the salons enough. They are so much fun. I already have my ticket, so get yours online just to save that extra $5. And I'll see you at PACT, I think, from 6 p.m. next Saturday night. And that is about all we have time for on the show, unfortunately. If you miss anything that we've been talking about, I put all the information and all the podcasting up on our webpage, which is So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website. And I'm going to leave you with one more track to finish the weekend. This is one from Soft Hair, The Lying Has to Stop. Thank you so much for joining me. See you next weekend. We'll be right back.
you bump more, babe? Do you see?